And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am the Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, the Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there, or please go to iTunes and tell us how much we suck or don't suck or whatever. Someone went there, posted a negative review, says we sound like we're in a garage or a tunnel. We're in a tunnel. He said it's a good podcast. He says it's a very good podcast, but it sounds like we're in a tunnel. So out of 5 stars, a very good podcast that's in a tunnel, he gives 1.
Well,
don't you think you go 3 out of 5 on that?
You know, I'm thinking 3 out of 5 would have been appropriate. You know,
a little rude, but okay, I'm all right with that.
I didn't know the quality of the broadcast as far as, you know, being able to listen was 4 out of 5 stars of, you know, grading.
I'm all right with that. We have tons of 5-star reviews too. But today on the show, David Morse, and I'm going to play this interview in the next minute or two. But David Morse, Mikey Turzo, are you there, Mikey?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there? We're going to talk about David Morse real quick before I play the interview, just in case anyone's like, well, who's David Morse? Here's the movies David Morse has been in. You might remember him. He was the good guy in The Green Mile. He was the security guard at the prison. The tall guy with the blonde hair and the blue eyes, and good-looking guy, David Morse. You know him from 16 Blocks. Of course, if you're an 80s fan, 30-something, St. Elsewhere, where he played Dr. Morrison. Dr. Jack Morrison was a huge role for him. I keep saying 30-something with Busfield. I'm thinking of St. Elsewhere. St. Elsewhere changed television forever. They did some real racy storylines on there. Here's what happens to his character on that show. And we'll talk about it in the interview a little. But his wife dies. His son gets kidnapped. He gets raped in prison by 2 guys. This was on NBC.
Wow.
Yeah. They won't even do that on NBC anymore. You may also know him from The Rock.
Good movie.
Proof of Life. Crossing Guard with Jack Nicholson,
mm-hmm.
and Sean Penn directed it. He did another movie with Sean Penn, too. I'm trying to remember what movie it was. I know he did another movie. The Good Son. You remember The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin? 12 Monkeys.
Yep.
Extreme Measures. The Long Kiss Goodnight with Craig Bierko.
I remember that movie. That was a great movie.
They play bad guys together in that one, him and Bierko. The Negotiator.
Great movie.
He's great in The Negotiator.
Absolutely.
You think he's a bad guy in The Negotiator, but spoiler alert, he is not. Because someone posted on our wall, doesn't he play all bad guys? No. Sometimes he plays the red herring bad guy.
He does play a pretty damn good bad guy, though.
He does.
Yeah.
Hack, of course, was a TV show with him and Andre Brower, which was good. House, he was on as Michael Tritter, and I believe he won an Emmy for House. Disturbia, he plays the bad guy in Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw Shia LaBeouf showed his wiener in some video this week, by the way, for Sugar Rios. Sugar Rios, am I pronouncing that right? Like I'm pronouncing meme wrong? Meme? It's a meme? Is it meme? Meme. Okay. John Adams, in that miniseries John Adams on HBO, he played George Washington.
That's kind of impressive.
Yeah, The Hurt Locker. May have heard of that movie.
Yeah, a couple times.
Did won a few awards.
I feel like he plays cops a lot.
He does. He stars as a cop right now in Tremé on HBO as Lieutenant Terry Colson, and he's in World War Z next year, which was written by Matthew Carnahan, brother of show favorite and buddy of mine, Joe Carnahan.
Very nice.
Since I know nobody. Nobody. And Matthew Aaron's a no one out in Hollywood.
Yeah, nobody knows Matthew Aaron.
He's a loser. He's a bum. No one knows him. Whatever. All right. But David Morse, very good actor, right?
You know, guys like him and Brett Cullen, I mean, these are the guys I always felt were
Chris McDonald.
Absolutely.
They're the character guys that really stand out.
These are the backbone, working class actors that make movies, make them happen.
Right.
And they're the ones that make them good.
Well, you have a genre film like The Negotiator, which is just your typical Western done as a police drama, Chicago film.
Right.
Negotiator. And you got Kevin Spacey and you got Sam Jackson. But if you don't have John Spencer, if you don't have David Morse, you don't have a movie.
No.
You don't have Paul Giamatti's in it. You don't have a J.T. Walsh. You don't have a movie. Because those guys are the ones that make all the exposition dialogue and make all the explaining of everything going on actually sound good and not like... Because we're watching Under Siege last night over at Ronnie's at Cigars and Stripes, and then we were watching Hard to Kill. And I love those. I love Seagal's early movies.
Yeah.
And they're fun. They're fun. But what I hate is there's always these characters that have no explanation for being there other than they're the exposition.
Right.
They just explain what's going on in the story. Now, when you put guys like John Spencer, rest in peace, and J.T. Walsh, rest in peace, but David Morse and Paul Giamatti and Philip Seymour Hoffman, when you give those guys Chris McDonald, when you give those guys those exposition roles and you actually give them some decent dialogue, they make it spark.
They're great.
They make it spark. And it makes you forget that it's exposition. It makes you think it's actually part of the action in the story. Another thing is in The Rock, I was reading this week with Ed Harris. Ed Harris hated the script, I guess. And I was telling you this last night, wasn't I? The Ed Harris story?
Yeah, with phones.
Ed Harris would break a phone before every time he had a yell in a scene because he said he just couldn't get into the script. He couldn't get motivated. So he'd break a phone every time. Yeah, it's pretty great. I guess Luisi's not coming tonight. You really, Thurzo.
Well,
you're a troublemaker.
I tried.
He's scared of you or something, right? Or he's really angry.
I don't know.
What we're going to do is I'm going to play this David Morse interview. He's in a new movie by Martin Donovan called The Collaborator. Martin Donovan plays kind of a writer who's on the fritz because his latest has been reviewed very poorly. He goes, he goes home and he sees his neighbor. And it's a story where Martin Donovan kind of finds out who he is once his neighbor kidnaps him. And it's not a ransom movie. It's not a kidnap movie. You really got to see this. I have it sitting right in front of me. I got to return it to Tribeca, Bobby De Niro and Jane Rosenthal's company in a few days. Bobby De Niro doesn't trust me with his DVDs. He goes, send them back. Send them back when you're done. I put the self-addressed stamp envelope on it. You send it back. That's what Bobby said. I don't know if he really said that. He may have said it. He may not have. World War Z I'm looking forward to, though. Man, that's going to be a movie. You know about World War Z, Adam? Adam's here, producer Adam. He's doing the little
soundboard. I wasn't aware. What's the...
Well, World War Z, I don't want to screw it up, so I'm going to find the actual plot, but this is going to be a huge movie. A UN employee is racing against time and fate as he travels the world trying to stop the outbreak of a deadly zombie pandemic. Brad Pitt is the star. Great supporting cast, including David Morse, Matthew Fox, and James Badge Dale.
Very nice.
Yeah, gonna be a big movie. It cost a lot of money though, from what I'm hearing, but it's gonna be a big movie. So let's play this interview about Collaborator. You'll find out more about it. You can catch it on video on demand today, and you can see it in theaters if you're in New York or near LA on July 6th. This is my interview with David Morse for The Collaborator. Mikey and I are going to go, we'll go hang out.
We'll go to Uncle Polly's.
Matthew?
Mr. Morse, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
This is a pleasure for me. I know you're not a big interview guy.
I've had that reputation in the past. I've tried mightily to change that.
Well, that's good. That's good because you are one of my favorite actors, sir. Going back to Jack Morrison on St. Elsewhere, where, by the way, you were phenomenal. You guys reshaped television with that show.
I think it was a pretty amazing show. And like you say, I think you can, you know, look at a lot of shows that found its roots in St. Elsewhere, but also Hill Street Blues and a lot of the writers and creators of those shows, those two shows.
Yeah, and I remember you gave an interview. Well, when I was doing my research, you gave an interview to People, and I believe it was back in like 86, 87, and you were talking about how they just put your character through the ringer on St. Elsewhere, you know, and it made you wonder what the writers were thinking of you for, because, you know, everything bad just kept happening to you on St. Elsewhere. Your wife gets killed, your son gets kidnapped. You get raped in jail.
I get raped in prison.
So I was wondering.
And the rapist comes out and tracks me down, and my 4-year-old son kills him while I'm tied up. And that was just, I mean, that's just the beginning of the list.
And it made me wonder, because you've played some definite bad guy, evil roles since then. And I mean, Gus in this film, The Collaborator, is not much different. There's some empathy for Gus. But do you ever wonder when you get offered parts like this, what do these people think of me as a human being?
I really try hard not to think too much about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't like where that goes. You know, you're talking about St. Elsewhere. It was very hard not to take personally, you know, the writers writing all that stuff about my character.
Yeah.
It was hard not to think that there was something in me that they were picking up on and exploiting in that show, which was not so fun to think about or to do.
But it's a little different when you get when someone writes a movie like Martin Donovan did with this great picture, by the way, The Collaborator, which is going to be on video on demand, I believe, July 6th. Is that correct? And
it's going to be in theaters. So you may know something I don't know.
It's going to be in theaters July 6th. It's June 20th on video on demand.
Right.
Martin Donovan writes this great script. He directs this great film. And I hear you get the role for playing Gus, who is – Martin Donovan plays this writer for our listeners who is kind of like going through – he's going home and he's finding out about himself. And the way he finds out about himself is his neighbor basically holds him for ransom. But it's not your typical, you know, ransom, you want something out of it kind of film. It's kind of funny how it gets there. There's some comedy in this. There's some great acting in this. But when Martin Donovan wrote this film and they were telling him they wanted him to get a bigger actor, but Mary Louise Parker, I heard, is the one that suggested you from Weeds, Mary Louise Parker. She said you got to work with David Morse. What happened? What came about that you did this film, The Collaborator?
Well, you pretty much described it. I had done a play called How I Learned to Drive with Mary Louise. 97 or something like that, and it was amazing. It was an amazing play, an amazing experience for the two of us and everybody involved with the play. Won the Pulitzer Prize and basically won every prize it could get. And when the two of them were working together on Weeds, Martin was writing the script for Collaborator, and just happened to start talking about actors, and my name came up, and she did say that she had to. That he had to work with me, and it stuck, obviously. And years later, he sent me the script, and there are a lot of actors he could have sent the script to.
Yeah.
And when I got it, I was amazed that he had sent it to me, mostly because of the humor in it, not because of the guy who takes him hostage, but because there was something really, really quite charming and funny about this man.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled that he sent it to me. And I wasn't even sure he was in his right mind when he sent it to me. So when we had our conversation, when I first talked to him, I really wanted to make sure that I was seeing what I thought he wrote, and that's what he wanted to do, and not just do another bad guy. And we were both on the same page about who Gus was, and I was just felt lucky to be doing it.
How does Martin Donovan as a director compare to when you've worked with Frank Darabont, you've worked with Scott Hicks, you've worked with Sean Penn, you've worked with Taylor Hackford, amazing directors. What does Martin Donovan do differently as a director? What was your experience like on this film that compares and contrasts to working with some of the greats you worked with? What some things are special to Martin, and what are some things that he does really well that other great directors do well?
Well, the first thing that is different about what Martin did that none of those other directors did was star in the movie they're directing.
Yeah.
And write it and produce it.
Yeah.
He was wearing so many hats in this movie on his very first film. I'm amazed that he was not totally overwhelmed by it, and I'm amazed at how good the film is, in spite of all of that. because it easily could have suffered because of it. first of all, what some of those directors you mentioned, like Sean, like Scott Hicks, Darabont, Lars von Trier, who I did a movie called Dancer in the Dark with, you know, there is something personal in all of their work. They all have a real vision, not just for their movie, but of life, and really trying to direct films that reflect what they believe about life, and there's just a great integrity to it, and that's what I feel like Martin really shares with all of them. He has a very strong integrity and point of view about the world that we're living in and how we should be living in it, and I think this movie reflects some of that.
And you feel that's important for a director to have that kind of opinion, that he knows he has a world view.
I think it's what elevates directors. I think there are plenty of directors who can put a movie on the screen, but to elevate the story, to have it resonate in a bigger way or a deeper way or a more universal way, I think they have to have a world view.
Yeah.
And I think the really good ones all share that.
I agree with you about all that. And you know what I was going to ask you as well is, you know, you've been very busy lately. Like I said, we have The Collaborator, which comes out June 19th in theaters in L.A. and New York, and then July 6th on video on demand for our listeners in Chicago and around the rest of the world. What I was going to ask you is, you've been a busy man, though. You got The Odd Life of Timothy Green, right? Is that the name of the film?
Right. That comes out in August, yeah.
That comes out in August. At Tremé, is there going to be another season of that?
We just finished the third season of Tremé. We're waiting to hear about the fourth season. I went right from there to Japan to shoot a five-part miniseries with Ken Watanabe over in Japan.
Oh, man.
And there's the movie World War Z that's coming out, I think, at Christmas with Brad Pitt.
Yeah. They were talking that there's going to be some reshoots for World War Z. Is that anything you're going to be involved in?
I don't think my character, no.
Okay.
No, I've not heard anything about that.
But you had a fine time working on that film.
What's that?
You had a good time working on that film.
I had a ball working on that film.
Yeah.
The character that I got to do on it was really, really, really fun. He's not there for none of the characters except for Brad Pitt is there for long because he's traveling around the world and meeting all these different characters. But the stop that he makes where I am is. I just had a ball doing it.
Yeah,
Mark Forrester directed that.
Yes, and Matthew Carnahan, Joe Carnahan, who's a friend of the show's and a friend of mine, he wrote it, Matthew Carnahan.
Uh-huh.
So that's great. That's World War Z. I mean, Tremé, though, here's the thing. I love it when you do things like Tremé, and here's what I love about The Collaborator. You really get to show yourself off in this movie. This is there are a lot of characters in it. It's great to see, like, Catherine Helmand and some other but you really get to, like, do a two-man play with Martin for a while in this thing. And
I think that's part of what is so appealing about it.
Yeah.
And I was worried, before anybody went to see it, because it like my family or friends who have seen it, or my kids, that it doesn't fit a traditional movie, that it's very contained, even though it's a hostage situation and there's cops around and all of that.
Right.
The real drama happens inside the house between two men. And the actress on Olivia on the phone.
Oh, Olivia Williams, yeah.
And there's something so satisfying about doing that work and being a part of that experience, and being that guy with Martin's guy. But it's also really satisfying to see the people that I know and care about who are watching this, who really are digging it. They're all for it. They don't need the all the things that you would think of that go with a hostage drama.
That's very true. I really dug this movie. I really dig your performance in it. I like when you do great character work like this. And Tremé was my other example. You play Lieutenant Coulson on it. You're fantastic. I just got into the show. And
thank you.
You're really great on it. Why is
that? That's a show that I actually was doing Collaborator in Canada when David Simon asked to talk to me about Tremé. And it was they were in the middle of their first season. And Melissa Leo, who's on the show, her character, John Goodman played her husband on it.
Yeah.
And his character died at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
And David knew all along that John Goodman's character was going to die. And he needed a character for two things. A character that would come into Melissa Leo's life, her character's life, but also that they were going to expand into stories, the real stories of what happened in New Orleans in the police department. And they needed the character of a policeman who could take us into that world. And he didn't have anything really written except for a scene. And the character was only going to show up at the for a few episodes, the end of the first season. But he asked me if I'd be willing to go with him on that, and I was really on faith. And it's the first time, really, that I'd ever said yes to something without seeing the whole character, without reading a whole script, without really a clear idea of what I was signing on to. And it was really because of David and his history and the kind of work that he does and is committed to that I said, this may be a rare opportunity. I may never get a chance like this with David Simon. So I said, sure, let's see what happens. And I've been so glad I did it.
And my final question for you, David, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, is how did you get here? Where were you always? There's a scene in The Collaborator, which my producer wanted to correct me, by the way. He says we got the dates mixed up. June 19th is the video on demand. It's in theaters July 6th. So
right, that's
there
what
you
I thought.
Go. Video on demand is June 19th, which is tomorrow. July 6th, theaters. So, David, how did you get to be this actor? Because there's a scene in The Collaborator where they're talking and they're like, what did you want to be when you grew up? And your character says a Marine. What did you want to be when you grew up? Are you doing what you wanted to do?
Well, the first part of my growing up till I was like about 10 or 11, I wanted to be an oceanographer.
Yeah.
And then when I found out what he really had to do to become an oceanographer, that was never going to happen. And I started acting in high school when I was 13. And it's really all I did in high school. It's what my gut got me through high school. And I never really knew that I could make it from my high school to Broadway or movies or anything. I didn't see any road from my high school to doing that. But that original production of Hair came to Boston.
Wow.
And I went to see that. And I just felt like, because I was kind of a hippie at the time, I thought, if they can do that, I can do that. I didn't know how it would happen. And I literally got an audition in my senior year, just before I graduated, for a theater company that was forming in Boston. And I went in and auditioned. And they asked me to be a member of the theater company, and that's what I did for 6 years, repertory theater, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, that's great. I'm really glad you're doing it. David, we'll be talking about this film, and we'll be talking about you on the show Wednesday and just how much I really love your career. I'd love to have you on again sometime because there's so many
films.
I'd be
happy to talk to you anytime.
Yeah, there's so many films we could talk about. David, you're all class. Thank you very much. The Collaborator, once again, video on demand. That's tomorrow. You can go to Comcast or whatever your cable provider is. It'll be on demand. And then July 6th in New York and L.A. for my New York and L.A. friends. You can see it in theaters. It's The Collaborator with Martin Donovan and David Morrison. Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
That was the David Morse.
Very nice. Great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see The Collaborator, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Even though you hate indie movies?
Well,
What can't you hear? Why don't you plug in your headphones, Kanata, when he's here? And he's complaining he can't hear anything because, no, your thing. You plug, yeah. Boy, I gotta do everything around this fucking joint. All right. Can we, first of all, David Morse, see The Collaborator. It's out on video on demand today, and you can see it in theaters, New York, L.A., where they actually play good movies, especially in L.A., of course. On July 6th.
For the independent movie scene.
Chicago hasn't been much for any scene other than eating.
You know, but there's actually a kind of a knock article calling Chicago a second-rate city. I wish I brought that in for you to read.
I'm the one that told you about this.
It was about seven
Chucky
pages.
Chucky posted it on my wall.
Did he really?
What justification do they have there?
I haven't read it, but it's kind of like all the money Daly spent in leveraging the city of the hilt.
I brought this up to you. Like 6 days ago, and you go, yeah, I read it, whatever.
Yeah, you said that Chucky or somebody had it posted.
I know, and he ignored it. Now all of a sudden, Kanata read it, and I found an article.
Well,
fascinating read.
I'm sorry, I worked during the day. I don't have time to read the news all day, every day, but some people.
Well,
but no, I think we should read it, Mike.
No, I'd love
to
see
it. I haven't read it.
I haven't read it yet. I want to see the justifications.
And we're biased because we are a little proud on our city.
Oh, sure, but I mean, I think if you really compare the other cities around the world, even look at the world leaders had to say that we're here.
Absolutely. Man.
You know, Janet Varney's calling in a couple minutes, so
who?
can we call him down?
Do I know her?
Yeah, it's real good.
She's not that girl last week from the bar, right?
She was in the Avatar TV
show. What, the girl last week from the bar?
Her name began with a J. I don't know if it was Janet, Jen, Giacomo.
She's got the JV club.
Well, if it was Giacomo,
we got bigger issues. All right. I'm going to call Luisi first, but she's got the JV club on the Nerdist channel. She's got the San Francisco Comedy Sketch Fest. You don't know about Nerdist, Len?
No.
You know, you people in Chicago, get out of your fucking bubble.
Are those the people that watch?
Get out of your fucking bubble and find some fucking culture.
Those are the ones that watch.
We
Andy
do.
Movies.
We have music.
No, your culture is Italian beef and scotch. You fat,
right,
you
Matt.
Fat,
you're not
ignorant
from,
fuck.
Because Matt, you're not
from
Chicago.
You fat, ignorant
stop
fuck.
Stop buttering your LA friends right now. Okay.
Yeah, stop blowing them.
I love LA. I'm in LA.
Yeah,
I am. Really? Look at my driver's license.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I've been paying taxes the last 4 weeks, sir.
I'm on vacation.
IRS.
I'm on vacation. Alex isn't going to answer my call. Terzo, you pissed him off. Good.
Who knows? Maybe he started crying to Megan. She brainwashed.
Listening, as they say, as you say.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice.
Let me tell you.
You know
something.
Why is everyone in the voicemails only leave their number? They never say like, "Hey, this is Len or Hey."
I know. No one leaves.
That
a
annoys
greeting
the
anymore.
Shit out of me.
No one leaves a greeting anymore. I answer my phone all the time.
I know.
Time,
I get yours a lot. I know exactly what it's like.
Oh!
Hello, you've reached Len Kanata.
So you know I have a greeting. At least you're greeted by a friendly, warm voice.
Mikey, you really pissed off Alex. You owe him a phone call.
Let's be realistic. I've tried calling him three times. I sent him a text message to call me. And then
can you give a long story short so our listeners at least know why you guys are now beefing?
There's no beef.
Long story short, well, you sent him a text message that was a little angry.
I sent him a nasty text message because he messed up and he's almost 30 years old and apparently he's crying about it like a little baby. I don't know. Who knows? For all we know, maybe he drove off the side of a cliff and that's the reason we can't get a hold of him.
Oh, you're winning him over right now.
Oh, man.
Well, it's good to see how deep our friendships are.
Look, I've tried calling him a couple times. I don't have any.
Shallow as the kiddie pool at Santa's Village.
Our friendships are as shallow as Lenny's shoelaces.
Our shoelaces.
What's that
shallow.
Supposed to mean?
Shoelaces barely come up from the ground, Mikey. That's what it means.
I have a large instep. Fuck you.
You have a large what step?
Instep.
What's an instep?
Inseam, too.
Are you trying to make people believe
you
that
to the
you
right
have
or
a...
Do you dress to the left, Len?
Short traveled and to the left.
There you go. That's the truth. Finally, it gets out. So can I play this Gilbert Gottfried clip before Janet
funny.
Varney calls in?
Wait, Len's
this is Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, no, doing 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Doing 15 Shades of Grey.
The wall of a vagina.
All right, I'm going to play this clip. Shut the fuck up.
Audible.com presents 50 Shades of Grey, the erotic best-selling novel read by Gilbert.
Can you let other people decide before you're like, this is good?
Gilbert Gottfried.
My inner goddess has stop dancing and is staring too, open mouth and drooling slightly.
Hear it the way it was meant to be heard.
Keep still, he orders, and slowly he inserts his thumb inside me, rotating it around and around, stroking the front wall of my vagina. No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the fisting, but I'd really like to claim your ass.
Famed voice actor Gilbert Gottfried gives a reading that can only be described as sensual.
Holy fuck, is this wrong? But holy hell, is it erotic?
Let Christian Grey seduce you over and over again through the voice of Gilbert Gottfried.
But when he hits my clitoris, I cry out loudly. Oh, please, I groan. Quiet, he orders. Not taking his eyes off mine, he scrunches my panties in his hand, holds them up to his nose, and inhales deeply. His hands reach around and touch my breasts, and my nipples pucker at his touch.
Holy shit, this is hot.
That can be found at Jess.com. You can follow Gilbert Gottfried on Twitter at Real Gilbert. He has a website. He has a book. Go do whatever you want with that.
I feel uncomfortable right now.
Yeah,
funny.
In a room full of guys, I just feel really uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, because you're so polite around a room full of guys. What?
You should have some cricket sounds or something.
Oh,
every time you say something,
you don't know
no
what
response.
Because you don't want to respond.
What do you mean I'm so polite around
a group
of guys?
You're filthier than
filthy
that clip.
Around a group of girls,
you're
too.
Filthier than that clip.
You know, that book's pretty filthy.
No, not as filthy as you and Kanata on the night out of the town.
I bet you like dragons.
Mikey, you would never say such things.
You know, I like to ruin women's image of Christian Grey by telling them I'm kind of the prototype for it. Kills anything they got.
No.
Who's going to play Christian Grey in the movie?
Me.
Are they making a 50 Shades of Grey movie?
They asked me. We're going over numbers right
now.
Yeah,
okay. It'll be Channing Tatum or whoever the fuck that kid's name is.
Why not me? What's wrong with me in that movie?
Why don't they get Ron Lovitz or something like that?
John Lovitz? Ron Lovitz?
A man's man. John Lovitz.
You
want to
get Ron Lovitz?
Well, in the book, I think the guy's supposed to be 27 and the chick's supposed to be 23.
What?
And the guy supposedly a billionaire, owns hedge funds, which is all bullshit.
That's just something else for girls to get off on.
Yeah, you know.
So it can't
more,
be
more
Ron.
Proof that they're obsessed with
so them. In other words, yeah. Ron Lovitz would not be on the casting call.
Sorry,
for...
I was thinking about Ronnie from Scars and Stripes, too, at the same time.
Whoa, what do you got Ronnie on the mind for?
Ronnie Lodge, John Lovitz.
Food Talk.
I made a comic.
Food Talk. Hey, Tobias, what time's Janet Varney calling in? Text me it. Come on. I need to know what I'm doing here.
What are you doing?
You know, you should have seen him earlier. We were playing baseball on the PS3. No. I don't care how many times I lose. It's just fun to watch him play baseball.
Why?
This guy playing video games, and he needs a camera on him. He's the most animated video game player I've ever seen.
It's not.
You're one of those.
He's one of those.
You're
he's
one of those.
Screaming. He's hopping up and down.
Get some culture, man. Who plays
hey,
video
hold on, hold
games?
On. He hits the ball.
Oh, he look
hold on. This guy hits the ball. It's a pop fly that barely makes it out of the infield. As soon as he hits it, he's like, home run, Glassman. Oh, what is that? What is that? That was bullshit. I'm like, man, it wasn't even an out of the infield. Infield fly rule. What are you freaking out about?
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
You know what my sister said to me today?
Which what's one?
That? I'm Steph totally ignoring that whole,
oh, that
whole thing because I don't remember
one?
It being
Steph
like
or
that.
Sarah? Okay.
Steph, she says she imagines you living with your mother till you're 50 years old.
She's pretty spot on about that.
Okay.
Right?
Well, it's good to know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of well known.
You know, I read a report the other day about how most men that aren't getting laid probably aren't getting laid because they live in their mother's basements. What do we feel about this?
Well, I don't live in the basement.
Well, I do. Where do you live?
In my bedroom. In the house.
The bedroom which is happening to be on the basement floor?
No. It's on the main floor. We live in a ranch.
Does your mom walk into your room late at night while you're sleeping and shine your jewelry?
No, she does that the night before I go to bed. When my shoes are shined, my breakfast.
My little Leonard is sleeping.
Gotta
shine
up the jewelry.
Oh, give me that horn. Here we are.
Look at
it.
There's the gold.
Where's
the
cross?
Gold. Nice and shiny.
Oh, Lenny.
Yeah, right after Lenny's done sitting Indian style in front of the refrigerator eating Chinese, she's shining his jewelry
as he passes out. You know what movie's coming to mind? What's the one with Charlie Sheen and Paul Sorvino? Or Charlie Sheen
and Paul Sorvino?
Yes.
Oh, Money Talks.
Money Talks. Remember?
What about Money Talks?
He wants to make, let's get some breakfast. And he has a lady come in, it's his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me think about Lenny.
Oh, you think he's going to be like Paul Sorvino in that movie? That's what you're saying? I could see that.
I'm okay.
Minus Paul Sorvino's loaded in that movie.
Yeah, you know, that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I like Money Talks.
That was back when Chris Tucker was still an actor. What does he do?
He has a movie coming out this fall. David O. Russell film.
Wow.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. Actually, there was did you read that Adam Carolla thing?
No.
Okay, so Carolla this time.
Is this part of being uncultured? Didn't read Adam Carolla?
Yeah, kind of, that you don't read news at all.
Well, no, I just.
What's that look for?
Well, no, what's Adam Carolla? How is this news?
I'm
does
sorry,
he do something
I don't...
in the news?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm sorry this didn't come from the food and dining section of the newspaper.
Well, I'm sorry. I was searching foreign policy today.
Foreign policy. You mean Wisconsin?
That is kind of like a foreign country.
Well, he's got to start somewhere small.
Any Hoosers. Women are mad at Carolla because he, once again, proclaims women are not funny.
Every day. This was going to be on a mainline news network? Like
this was.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Which one?
You know,
Which mainline news network?
Adam says they're not funny. What's your vote on women being funny or not?
They are.
You know, they can be
funny. Funny looking.
What do you mean?
What about, like, Tracy Ullman was funny.
When was Tracy Ullman funny?
Because The Simpsons were on.
Okay, that makes sense.
Was she really ever funny, Tracy Ullman?
Yeah, if you watch the old
You know, I'm wondering if...
No, I like Chelsea Handler.
I think
she's hilarious. Lisa Lampanelli, I laughed my ass off.
Okay, I like Lisa.
She's a raunchy bitch, and I love it.
Yeah, I like Lisa.
Lampanelli's
but what the fuck is the deal? Oh, wait, I think this is Janet Varney. Hold on. I think Janet's been on the phone a while, and I didn't know it. Janet?
Yep?
This is Matthew Ahrens. We're talking
about
Adam Carolla's comments the other day.
Yes, I was just listening to that, wondering how that was going to go, what you guys were all going to decide right before I got on the phone.
Adam, our producer here doing the soundboard, says women really aren't funny. I'm sure Janet loves that comment.
I couldn't love it more.
Lenny says that raunchy bitch Lisa Lampanelli's a hoot.
I love her.
She is good.
Mikey says Tracy Ullman's funny. And I was going to say some of the most normal women I know are the funniest people on Facebook. Julia McCrabass, she's hilarious. Shannon Merton, she's funny as shit. I know a lot of funny women who aren't even comedians. True story.
Well, that's very good to hear. I'm sorry that everybody else just came up with one suggestion, but I would submit to you that women are very funny.
Mikey, who else do you have other than Tracy Ullman?
Gilda Radner.
Okay.
Very funny.
Very dead. Anyone alive?
Yeah, plenty of people who are alive. Come on, guys.
Janet, who are some of the funniest women out there right now since you co-founded the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival? You would know better than anybody, and the JV Club, where you just interview tons of hilarious women. So
yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot. I will certainly get on the Kristen Wiig bandwagon. I think that's well-deserved. I think all of the girls in Bridesmaid are great. I think Natasha Leggero and Jen Kirkman, who do Chelsea's show a lot. I know one of you said that Chelsea Handler was funny, and I think a lot of the girls on that show are super funny. I think Sarah Silverman's a genius. I think Maria Bamford is amazing. I think Tig Notaro is fantastic. I can pretty much name as many women as men that I think are funny. So,
you know,
I'm certainly not a fan of anybody who says they're not funny. I understand that that's something that, like, some people think, but I don't really get it.
Do you think Adam really believes that, or do you think Adam just tries to get press when he does stuff like that? Like, about the LGBT yuck?
Yeah, I think he's. I think he knows a lot of funny women, and I think he's said how funny they are in the past.
Yeah,
so I prefer to think that he's not serious.
He basically said he knows three funny women, which I thought was just lovely. I think he likes to rile people up. I think people fall for it. I don't think he's that far off from being a Fox News commentator most times. You know, and that's his act, and I get it, and it's cool. I like Adam. I like Adam fine, because I don't take anything he says seriously.
Yeah.
But,
I like him, too. I just don't think it helps. I don't think it helps. I don't think that kind of comment particularly helps, even if it's like not 100% serious, because I just feel like as a woman in comedy, I don't need a bunch of people listening to that, taking it seriously, and then deciding that he's right. But you know what? I can't control that, and hopefully people are smart and they figure it out for themselves.
Well, it does make a bunch of sexist men stand up and go, "See, I told you."
Exactly. That I don't love.
Now, Janet, you have your own show, the JV Club. I want to talk about Burning Love. I want to talk about a couple things you got going on.
Bring it.
Burning Love, by the way, I think is hilarious. If no one's watching it or if everyone's watching it, it's Ken Marino's web series on Yahoo that Ben Stiller's a part of and a bunch of other. It's hilarious. It's a great show, right?
Thank you. I love it. And I have been told now that it is officially the most successful web series of all time. It's actually...
Wow.
Been seen
and
by millions and millions of people. Yeah,
I will take 38% of the credit for that for when.
No. Take it.
Yeah, for when Ken was on the show. Now, how did you get involved with this web series? I mean, we are talking some heavy hitters in the entertainment business on this show.
Yeah, I guess I'm just sort of lucky enough to kind of be at least maybe in the periphery of that world. I do a lot of performing and I've done a lot of stuff like that in the past, and a lot of comedy and a lot of sketch and improv, and they reached out to me when they had the initial idea, as they did with, you know, like 12 other girls, and said, "We would love for you to do this." There wasn't like an audition process or anything.
Wow.
And I think I can speak for all of them when everybody just said, "Of course. Of course we want to do this. Of course we want to work with you guys." And it was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. It was fantastic.
That's great. I'm going to ask you now, who would you specifically work with on the show? Ken Marino? Did you get to share any time with Ben Stiller or Christine Taylor?
I didn't. You know, Ben and Christine were in New York, so I didn't get to they weren't on set with us. But you know, everybody else on the show, I was around. Adam Scott and Michael Ian Black and all the girls and Ken.
We love Michael Ian Black. He's done the show, and Michael's a great guy. He's fantastic.
And
isn't he funny as shit? Like, he's funny.
Oh, he doesn't have to do anything.
No.
He is the consummate, like, hand him a phone book, he can open it and make anything hilarious.
No, that's
although
true.
I've never put him to that challenge. Maybe that's next on my to-do list, is force him to make the phone book funny.
Let me ask you something, because obviously you're a woman in comedy, which is a very, very tough business to crack, being a woman and being in comedy.
Yeah.
I don't think we should lie about that. It's true, right? You would agree?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of got lucky in that I didn't really have to crack it so much, but certainly friends of mine, particularly stand-ups, I don't do stand-up. I think stand-up is a really tough nut to crack in the comedy world, and I think putting your dues in there and, you know, just like suffering through your open mics and all that kind of stuff, that's brutal. So, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, and I feel like the most successful comedians who are respected are Kathleen Madigan and Lisa Lampanelli, and they're not women that exactly look like Barbie dolls. And then I feel like the women that look like Whitney Cummings are a little less respected. I just feel there's a lot of sexism in comedy. I really feel that way. And, you know, what I was going to ask you is, you did Entourage. And obviously on that show, there is not a very great worldview of women, I don't believe. What's it like when you do a show like that? Do you have any problem with any of the message that they put out, or do you just feel like it's part of their story they're telling? But Entourage seemed like a very, well, I mean, I watched it. It didn't seem. It was a very sexist show.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I have to first out myself and say that I didn't really watch Entourage. I really liked when I, that was one of those jobs where. And by the way, everything you're saying makes sense, and I respect everything you're saying. I think the hardest thing about what I do and what a lot of us do in this business is we want to work and we love working, and we know that a lot of it is building relationships and doing jobs and, you know, doing commercials where you think to yourself, did I just do a commercial for some, like, company that's, you know, killing the world?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kind of, like, figuring out what your, like, what your scruples are and making agreements with yourself, I think, in a way. And that's, that can be really uncomfortable. I really didn't know Entourage, the show, that well. I had auditioned for the pilot and really, really liked the creative team in that process, and they sort of kept bringing me back in, and they would never bring me in for anything that involved, like, and then she takes her shirt off, or she's having sex with so-and-so. They would always bring me in for, like, more what Constance Zimmer did, which is, you know, a little bit different, and maybe some stronger female characters. So the arc that I did wasn't like that at all. So my experience with it was great, and I loved those guys, and I had a great time working on it. But I do think that the world that show created was certainly not, you know, a world that, like, I don't live in that world of Hollywood. That's not really where I choose to exist.
Yeah, let me ask you. You said you don't really do a lot of stand-up.
I've never done stand-up.
Now, were you at Flappers last weekend? Was someone telling me that in Burbank?
I was. Yeah, I was. I was doing Bill Dwyer's show. It's like a game show.
So it's like an improv kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like a panel of comics answering questions and guessing stuff, and, you know, kind of interacting with the audience and stuff like that.
Okay, that's cool. I heard you were hilarious at that. Is there any, like, do you have any, like, interesting stories from when you're doing, like, improv at those kind of places? Like, anything, like, out of the usual happen?
You know what? I have to say, the immediate thing that I thought of, I'm not very proud of, but it is definitely unusual. I was doing, this is terrible. I was doing Greg Barron's Bring the Rock show at my comedy festival that I co-produced with my two partners in San Francisco, that I think you mentioned before. And it, Bring the Rock is a very, very cool show that Greg sometimes does here. He used to do it a lot, but we like to bring it up for Sketchfest. And it's basically comics and actors and sometimes musicians telling a story about a song and then singing the song, or the band covers the song for them. And it's just, it's awesome. Like, on that particular show, Marc Maron told a story and sang, but also played guitar. He's an amazing guitarist. Todd Barry sometimes does it. He plays the drums, so he'll perform and play the drums. Ben Stiller's done it and played the drums. So somebody was up doing a song, and a woman in the front row, I guess she was really drunk, she was having a great time, one thing led to another, and she crapped her pants.
Oh, that's funny.
And had to be sort of dragged out, and she was sitting in the front row.
Lenny's crap.
So that was unusual, guys, that was unusual.
Lenny, no?
Yes.
Yes, you've crapped your pants?
It was Vegas.
In Vegas?
I was allowed to, it was Vegas.
Guys, you're not even supposed to bring that up if it happened in Vegas. We know the adage about Vegas.
No, happens in Vegas goes on Facebook.
Yeah.
So.
Whoops.
Lenny, what happened in Vegas? In and
out
burger?
It was my first time out there in 2003. We were drinking and eating like assholes for three freaking days. And we were shopping. I couldn't make it to the bathroom quick enough. It just, you know.
It was a leak.
It's not like I just let it all flow out. It was just like a little bit hit the pants, but I finally made it. It was. Whoever cleaned
Vegas.
The bathroom that night had fun with that.
Oh, that is lovely. Mikey, ever crap your pants?
He's thinking,
because it happened. He just doesn't know which story to tell. He had to go through the Rolodex crapping pants story.
Yeah, that's got to be rough to pick the right one for the right occasion.
It's not always about picking the right story. It's about which one's worth telling.
Mm-hmm. I've crapped my pants, but I can't remember any good stories about it.
You're probably like a one and a half.
I mean, no, I mean, I've crapped my pants as an adult. I have.
You're telling me that you've done it, but you can't remember it well enough to remember the story around it?
Well enough. None of them are just that interesting. It's like, oh, look, he's drunk. You know, and then they...
Yeah.
I've never pissed myself, though.
I've pissed myself laughing.
Like, that's taking it... Like pissing yourself is worse somehow.
The first time I took mushrooms, we were watching Big Lebowski and Animal House. First time I ever seen either movie. I was 13. And I woke up in the morning, and I was totally wet, and
you're
I didn't know
doing mushrooms at 13.
Yeah.
You are a role model for the United States.
Well, it explains a lot.
Yeah. It's had its effect, Phil.
Mikey, you're not getting out of this. You ever poop your pants?
Yeah, I know I have. I just can't think of anything.
I'm so glad I'm responsible for this conversation. What did you bring to the table, Janet? Oh, classic. Just an old classic.
A good pants pooping story.
A good pants pooping story.
Mike, you're going to think about this. I want to hear your pants pooping story. But, all right, let me ask you something, Janet, because it seems like I've hit the glass ceiling. I'm not allowed in this club. How did you get on the Nerdist? How did the relationship start?
You're not allowed in the club. I don't know that anybody – it's not a secret that Chris and I were together for 7 years. So I guess that would be – That would be an easy answer.
So wait, I need to hook up with Chris Hardwick to get on the Nerdist?
That's it. Every single person on the Nerdist Network did.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Mikey, grab my knee pads. I'll be back. I'm going that way.
There we go.
Here's the deal. I have tried to get Chris on the show. I've tried to get Mark Maron on the show. I've tried to get Adam Carolla on the show. I've tried to get Kevin Smith on the show. All four of them say, we will do what. Ever podcast ever. Blah, blah, blah. I'm the easiest guy to get a hold of. I'll do anybody's podcast. None of them will do mine. I'm putting that out there. That's between you and I, Janet. But tell me, all right, other than with Chris and got a show. No, but that's not really how it happened. You had a show, right? You had an idea. You had a thing. How did this happen?
I already had a bunch of episodes recorded and stuff, and I was sort of trying to figure out where it made sense to be, and I definitely have, you know, like sort of in that community of people, and they didn't have anything like what I was doing, and it just seemed like a good fit all around, so it wasn't really, you know, it just was like good timing, and I guess what I was doing made sense for Nerdist.
Well, your first episode, was it not with Christina Hendricks?
It was, yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Love her.
Oh, do you? Do you love her?
I do.
Do you have the guests actually in, like, your living room or, like, where do you record it at or are they called?
I do record it, yeah. I would say 90% of the time I do it at home. I can also – it's so easy for me to go to someone else, so – if someone needs me to come to them, like a couple of the episodes I did, I recorded in New York just with my gear. So I can certainly make that happen. But I really like having people here. I think it works with the vibe of the show and to keep it kind of casual like that, you know.
So give me the pitch of your show for our listeners. What can we expect? I mean, you had Connie Chung on your show. You had Madeline Ackerman on your show. Mm-hmm. You had on Jessica St. Clair. Mm-hmm. So give our listeners an idea of what they can expect to hear when they're listening to Janet Varney's podcast.
Well, basically, the way in to the podcast and the conversation that we start out having usually has a little something to do with where these women kind of grew up, what their high school experience was like, what their adolescence was like, because what that ends up kind of feeding into are a lot of sort of like other conversations that spin off of that. But it's always really interesting to hear what people have to say, and people like talking about that period of time in their lives. I know that from my own experience, and so we always have something to come back to and something to talk about that's specific. But it can go anywhere from there, and that's usually what happens.
Well, as our listeners know, I do a similar thing on my show. We talk a lot about the process of becoming what you are.
Right on.
But, yeah, I wasn't interested with that with you. But, I'm just kidding. We're getting to that. But like, what I love about your show is you have a bunch of, once again, disproving the myth that women aren't funny or women are not intelligent. You have some very intelligent women with some very good stories on your show.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, Connie Chung. How'd you get Connie Chung? Explain to me this. How did Connie Chung end up on your fucking podcast? Because she don't end up on mine.
Connie was going to do, for my festival, I had reached out to her to see if she was interested in doing the, like, basically conducting the interview when we did, a couple years ago, a tribute to Diane English, who created Murphy Brown and
yeah.
Candace Bergen. So, and she had actually, I think she appeared on an episode of Murphy Brown, and she was one of the news anchors that Diane, I think, had been inspired by when she was creating the character. So she was supposed to come do that. So she and I had been in touch about that, about, like, the questions she was going to ask and all that good stuff. And then that was a year in January. You might even remember it. There was a horrible blizzard in New York, and everybody got grounded, and she couldn't come. So she and I had just sort of, like, we were sort of figuring out all of that. So we were sort of thrown together under those circumstances, and were kind of communicating even more than maybe we would have been, and we really hit it off, and she was so funny. And we just kind of stayed in touch. And then a few months later, when I had been doing a few episodes of the podcast, I reached out to her and said, I don't think people know how funny you are. Would you be interested in doing this? And she said, absolutely. And she lives in New York. So I was out in New York shooting this show for the BBC, and I just brought my laptop and my gear with me, and she was gracious enough to have me over. And so that's how that happened.
Now, you said you did a show for the BBC?
I was doing a couple of episodes of the show that Graham Norton did called Would
Graham
You
Norton.
Rather?
Yeah.
Which was super fun. I got to do it with some really fun, with Michael Ian Black, who you mentioned, and Whoopi Goldberg, and trying to think of Judah Friedlander, who was on 30 Rock, was on it, and Leo Allen, some really funny comics. That was very cool. Super fun.
Well, that's great. Okay, so now I want you to explain to me. Now we do want to get into it.
All righty.
All right. How did you get to where you are? Like, you go through, like, when you're an adolescent and you're watching Lorraine Newman on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Is that doing it for you? Or
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
It just kind of took me a long time to come back around to it. When I was in high school, I loved performing. I wasn't really thinking about comedy specifically. I loved acting and all that kind of stuff. And then in college, I studied theater, but there was comedy stuff happening that I just wasn't doing. There was an improv group at my college, and I didn't join it. And it just never occurred to me. I don't know, for some reason, I was like, I don't do that stuff. But not to say that I wasn't, like, kind of a goofball and a weirdo, because I was, but I didn't do any of that. And then when I moved to San Francisco, my goal had really been just to move to San Francisco. I didn't really have a plan beyond that. I think that happens to a lot of people when they decide to go to San Francisco. They just are like, that's a beautiful city. I'll make it work somehow. And so when I moved there, I wasn't planning on pursuing anything in the kind of comedy world or otherwise. I just was going to get a job that could afford, so that I could afford my rent. So I ended up kind of going down this totally different road, and I was like, I was working as an interior design, like a project manager, and then I worked at a buying office for this kind of upscale home furnishing store, and I sort of thought that's what I would end up doing for the rest of my life. And then in my early 20s, some guys that I had gone to school with reached out and said, hey, we want to start this comedy group, and I was like, that's cool, but I don't really do that. And they kind of muscled me into it, and I sort of reluctantly gave it a shot, and I just loved it. And those are the guys I ended up starting the festival with, and my sketch group was invited to perform at the Aspen Comedy Festival. So when I did that festival, that's kind of when it snowballed a little bit for me, and I met my representation, and they cajoled me into moving down to Los Angeles, and I just started auditioning for stuff. So there really was like, a kind of like a huge gap in time when I wasn't even thinking about Lorraine Newman and Saturday Night Live, and then it all just kind of came back full swing.
So what kind of, like, long-term goals do you have as a what do you even consider yourself? Do you consider yourself just an entertainer, a comedian, interviewer, all those things? How do you classify yourself? Because everyone's really in the labels.
Yeah, I don't do well with that.
What do you put on your tax forms?
On my tax forms, I think I do a lot of like hyphens and slashes. I think I put like writer, producer, performer. I would love to have a production company. I would love to I love Conan O'Brien's career. I think he's first of all, just love him. I love that he's producing original television and that he's I love hosting stuff. Acting is super fun. It's hard to be one track and be super ambitious and dedicated in one specific direction, which I think is probably one of my biggest challenges and one of the things that I struggle with is, like, I don't want to just be on a TV show, you know?
I was just thinking about, I can never get mad at you because you can never have me on your show because I'm not a woman.
You can't ever get mad at me. Look at that.
Damn it.
Look at that.
Right. Well, see,
that was my number one reason when I decided to only have female guests.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's good. Ooh, you found a way. You found a way around
it. I work a long con.
I'm glad you had me in mind for that, though. What are, like, some of the future projects you got going on? What's really important to Janet? Give me the 9-to-5 Janet Varney right now. What's the day like for you?
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
Wildly inconsistent and too busy, and at some point in the day, I usually put my head down on my desk for a second and go, why am I trying to do all of this? I just found out that I do a voice on a cartoon on Nickelodeon that's actually quite successful, not because of me at all, but because it's a great cartoon. So I just found out that we got picked up again for that. So that I'll be doing more of those.
The Legend of Korra.
Legend of Korra, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm also working on a project that I'm super excited for, also for the Nerdist channel. I'm sorry, I don't want to rub it in. I don't want to make anybody angry, but I'm producing and writing a web series for the Nerdist YouTube channel with Neil Patrick Harris.
About
the dreams that he has and the fact that when he dreams in puppets.
You know, I'll arm wrestle Hardwick to get on that channel. You send that message.
Consider the message sent, even though it has not been sent yet.
Arm wrestle him to get on that channel. Because I got to tell you, I feel like I'm being overlooked here. I think I'm all right. Janet, you've listened to a little bit of the show. I'm not awful.
You're certainly not awful. There's nobody saying that. Nobody's saying that.
Okay, that's good. That no one's saying that? That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're getting the word out that one's saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, Janet, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I really don't.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me say this. I think what you were talking about earlier about it being hard to be a girl in comedy, in a weird way, it's just as hard, if not harder, in a different way to be a guy because there are so many guys that it becomes like, oh, we don't need another guy who does what you do, or don't you think? I mean, I have friends who never get to audition for anything because people have their, like, this is the group of guys who are kind of like you who are comics that we bring in for this, and we don't have room for another one.
Yeah, I feel like, pimping ain't easy. And I also feel like, for me, I do kind of feel like I don't have that social circle, if you will. I'm very loyal to my friends and my homies, and they're not in the business. I'm kind of an outsider looking in sometimes, I feel like. And I think when you have the friends, that helps out a lot, too.
Well, I'm terrible at kind of networking and that kind of stuff as well. I guess I just know a lot of people from already kind of being in the mix.
I like that you say that, Jan, because the popular thing for everyone to say is, I'm so bad at networking. But then you look around at the phone and you see who all your friends are and you're like, well, maybe I'm not that bad at it.
I will say this, whatever I mean by that, I will tell you that I am a terrible hermit. And whenever someone's like, will you go to this premiere? I'm like, oh, but I could, like, just hang out with my dog.
You know what? I'm bringing back old school Hollywood. When anyone ever asks me what the fuck I'm doing, I'm going to be like, I go out and party every night. I go to every premiere. I am like the new Jack Nicholson. That's why I'm going to tell people. Everyone's a hermit nowadays.
I know. Everyone is a hermit. You're right.
I'm not cool with this hermit shit.
You need your own booth at Musso and Frank's.
I do need my own booth at Musso and Frank's. That's a good point.
Right.
Mikey loves food. If he wasn't playing Angry Birds at the moment, he could tell us more about Musso and Frank. Mikey, are you playing Angry Birds while I'm doing an interview here? Is that Angry Birds?
No, it's
basketball thing? Would you like to tell Janet about your fucking free throw game that you're playing?
It's very addicting.
Yeah, more addicting than Janet Varney?
I you know what, we live in a world where people multitask all the time. I'm surprised I'm not playing Pac-Man right now, but I am giving you my full attention. But that's rare, right? Because we all do like 50 things at once now.
You are a hermit. Pac-Man.
Told ya.
I'm going to have to buy you a PS3 or something.
I can't believe I just won. I won. I get to like hold by my standing and claim that I'm a hermit now. That's good.
Let me ask you something, though. So you're a hermit, you have a lot of friends, but you don't like considering that networking, but okay, I get all that. Okay, but have you ever had, like, problems with people in the industry? Have you ever had a problem?
Have I ever had a problem?
With a person.
Like, what do you mean, by a problem?
Tell me who the person is, but, like, have you ever had a situation where you're like, man, this person's a fucking cocksucker?
Sure. The business is full of them.
Yeah, you know, I moved out there, and I was expecting to meet a ton of cocksuckers. I got to tell you, there's a lot of nice people out there.
Oh, my God. There's more nice people than there are jerks, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people that you sort of go, wow, you breathe the same air as me.
Now, were these, like, powerful jerks that got in your way, or are these, like, underling jerks that got in your way, and you're just kind of, like, brushing aside?
Oh, you make me sound like I am much cooler than I am for
you're cool.
Being able to brush anyone aside. No, I guess if I'm trying to think of someone, I definitely have had people just, you know, not just sort of be like, we don't get it, which
yeah.
is fine. I don't know what there is to get. I guess if you don't like me, you don't like me, but
yeah,
it doesn't feel very good.
Yeah, I don't get that. Let's put it that way. I think we all do our thing.
Yeah.
And everyone should respect it. You do your thing, I do my thing. You know, if I wanted to be closed-minded, I could say I don't like Sean Penn because he talks like an asshole and he does this and he does that and whatever. But I'm not. I'm open-minded. Sean Penn does his thing, I do my thing. If you don't like Sean Penn, that's your problem. But I don't judge. Don't judge.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and we have a lot of options these days. I mean, you don't exactly, you're not exactly forced to watch
No.
anyone at this point. There's too many choices. Too many choices.
I agree. What else was I going to ask you? I have so many things that
you can, but I just want to say quickly that I was super excited when I read your Twitter feed about me and being on the same show as David Morse.
Oh, do you like David?
I love him. I've never met him, but I'm a total fan.
He's sexy, isn't he, for a man?
He's fantastic. I think he's terrific. I love a lot of the choices that he makes in terms of what projects he does. And
he doesn't really have a bad role in the whole bunch either.
No, I think you've increased my cred by him being on the same show as me, and I feel I owe both of you for that.
I think
both you
both,
and David.
I want to say you both increased my cred. I think, though, what happened was I just turned invisible. Everyone's tuning in to David Morse and Janet Varney.
That can't be true.
Fuck about Matthew Aaron. That's the truth.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thank you, Leonard. now, Janet, do you tape your show or no? Do you tape your podcast and then put it up on the Nerdist website, or do you do it live?
Oh, it's definitely pre-taped. Yeah, some of my episodes are super old. Like, I'm not even – some of them I do and then release right away, and some of them are the ones that I've had that I had before I even started up on the network.
Why do you choose to tape it? That's just the way Nerdist is, or
– I don't know. When I decided to do a podcast, it never even occurred to me to do it real time. I just thought people's schedules are crazy. I should just – be flexible and able to kind of record when I need to and then be consistent about when I put them out.
So you're not bossy like me where you're like, listen, I'm at the Coney Dog Monday and Wednesdays. You're either by then or you're out. I ain't interviewing you.
I should be more bossy in general.
Lenny, you were correct. I make and break careers. Thank you. Chicago.
You broke your career.
Chicago bows down to my opinion of people. That's what it is.
Fantastic.
True, Lenny?
Opinion of who? What?
Would you like talking to a microphone instead of talking? No, he doesn't want to.
I don't
want to
snap your headset here.
Mikey, did I wake you up from your slumber of video game playing? He heard that I own Chicago, and now Mikey's got something to say. Janet, Lenny had a question for you. You can ask her.
Are you single? Hold on, because I don't got my thing.
Oh, Lenny just asked me if I was single?
Yes, ma'am.
I was until very recently, but I'm not single anymore.
Yeah, like
I'm done with this one. Now wait.
Right before this interview started.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. It was very, 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 very recent.
Now wait. Can I line up the most common female answer on my show when that question's asked?
Yeah.
I just got out of a relationship, and I'm really busy at the moment. I'm not really interested in anybody.
Wait a minute. You just asked the question if they're single, and that leads them to already give a rejection answer?
Yeah, no. Here's the thing, Janet.
How egotistical are these
girls? We talked about this last week on the show. I get shot down a lot before I even ask the question.
I'm
going to give you a true story. This girl wanted me to pick her up from the city at 1 a.m. last week. I'm in town visiting my parents here in Chicago before I come back to L.A. She wants me to pick her up in Chicago at 1 a.m. I go, I'm kind of real tired, but, you know, maybe. And she goes, you're not getting any. I didn't ask.
Oh.
Why are you turning me down before I even ask?
Yeah. Women like to do that, I think.
What do you think of the rule, Janet, for grass, gas, or ass?
I'm going to need to be acquainted with that stat because I do not know what you're saying.
Okay, Janet, when women ask you for a ride at an inconvenient time of night, or I'm sure women can do this to men, there's a rule. You're either grass, gas, or ass. You're either buying weed and bringing it along so we can smoke it, gas, you're buying gas, or ass, you know, I think that's self-explanatory. But that's usually the rule from back in the day. I don't really know what this day was. I think it was the 70s and McConaughey was young and I think he came up with it.
What do I think about that rule? I don't know that I want to answer that as a female specific question.
Have you ever participated in grass, gas, or ass?
I'm trying to think if I've asked for a ride. I don't know. I feel like that's what cabs are for when you live in San Francisco, and then
this is like a late night phone call to a male friend.
No, I've never done it. I mean, I truly have never done it. I'm not kidding.
I believe you're a hermit.
Listen, I don't leave the house. I've never left the house.
We live in a generation now, though. I'm 28. We live in a generation now, though, where younger people like to just drive around in circles and waste gas. So I think it's a popular thing. That's how people get together, and then they smoke cigarettes and they bullshit. And they drive around in circles. Yeah.
That's all anybody did in Tucson, Arizona when I was a teenager because there wasn't anything else to do. People just drove around.
Yeah, Tucson. It's really hot.
Yeah, with no air conditioning, that doesn't sound comfortable, though.
No, not my kind of weather.
No, not at all.
I couldn't wait to go. I mean, I love the city, but I couldn't stand the weather even when I was a kid. I was like, this is not normal.
Isn't the weather in L.A. perfect?
I like the weather in L.A. I'm super weird. I prefer the weather in San Francisco. I like a little fog. I like a little fog and clouds.
Good.
Probably because I had too much sun growing up, as I just said.
Lenny, what do you like about San Francisco that you're
saying?
Nothing.
I just like cooler climates.
Oh, okay. Me too.
I don't like the hills. That's ridiculous. I would never walk up and down those things.
No one asked you to.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't think anyone walks.
Well,
up
I'm like
and
a
down
woman
down
rejecting before. I'm going to give additional answers when I don't need to.
Yeah, Jim, do you do a lot of exercise? Because you're hot. You're in great shape. Do you do a lot of exercise, or are you just like naturally gifted?
Well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I do exercise a fair amount. I don't like go to a gym. I can't really do that. I just won't overdo it. But I ride a bike and I play tennis, and those are the two main ones.
Okay, ride a bike, play tennis. I like tennis. I play tennis. I don't think I'd ride the bike.
What about racquetball?
Do you like racquetball?
I've never played racquetball.
That's intense.
Janet, I'm telling you, you want a good workout, racquetball, you'll be done in 10 minutes. You got all the workout you need.
Yeah, someone was actually just telling me that about racquetball, and I said I like being outside, so I wasn't sure about this business of being in. When it, I'll tell you, the one thing I think about when I think about racquetball is, seriously, I have one image, and that is John Candy playing racquetball in the movie Splash.
Yes, that's funny. That's,
that is what I picture.
Yes, that's funny. Do you think if you did your show live it would help or hurt you or make no difference at all, your podcast?
I think if I did my show live, it might hurt me because I think that people would get self-conscious about saying some of the stuff that maybe they would say otherwise. It's not like anybody ever asked me to cut anything, but I think something about the awareness of knowing that you're live might make people feel like they don't want to get all into the stories about their growing up and stuff. I don't know. I mean, that's just a an off-the-cuff answer. I don't know if that's even true, but that's my
response. Well, I guess it depends. I guess you have your way, I have mine. I do it live. And here's the thing. I feel like it's like surprising people. I give them a question, and you can't really avoid it because people.
I think that's totally true. I mean, yeah, that has absolute merit. I don't know why. I think
it's like surprise sex.
I'm too worried about hurting people's feelings or upsetting people. Like I, that's already it. We've established that, you know, I'm.
No,
I'm
we don't like
codependent.
Her. Tell me about the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival in January 2013. You got it going on again. Are you planning anything huge?
Well, we always try to plan something big.
No, but is there anything like right now you're planning, you're already working on?
Not really. We're actually working on something. We're working on like something during the summer, so that's kind of more, which I guess I can't really say anything about because it's not confirmed yet, but we're working on something for the summer, and then as soon as I think we get that in line, we'll start working on the festival stuff.
Well, I think it's very cool what you're working on.
Just
whoop-de-doo.
The festival stuff?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's super fun. It's really really exciting to kind of feel connected to San Francisco still in that way since I live in LA and so many comics like across the board feel like San Francisco is like one of the best places to perform. The audiences are so smart and they're cool and they're there to laugh and they're fans, and I mean you would think that that would exist anywhere, so I don't know really what the difference is other than that people tend to agree that San Francisco audiences are some of the best.
Janet, would you be open to playing a game of Marry, Fuck, Kill?
Sure.
Okay. Let's come up with three dudes. Mikey, you come up with a dude. Lenny, you come up with a dude. I'll come up with
a dude. Wait. They all have to be in the same age range? Do they have to be current, old? Like
No. Could be anybody. All right, Mikey, go. Who's yours?
Channing Tatum.
Justin Timberlake.
And I'll just round it out with Shia LaBeouf then. Okay.
Oh,
no, wait. Let's make this a little more fair, a little more out there. Jonah Hill.
Okay.
Channing Tatum. What was yours, Lenny?
I kind of like that Jonah Hill.
Damn I got
it.
Jonah
Justin
Hill.
Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake and Jonah Hill. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Marry, Fuck, Kill.
I hate to say this, but my first question is, I really have to marry one of those guys?
Ooh. Oh, wow. Wow, that's harsh.
You've not named anyone that I would consider my taste.
What's your taste?
I don't know. Who would I be? I'm trying to think.
I think she's like an Arab.
You know what? This is no secret. I've said this before, but if you said Idris Elba, I would be like, oh, Mary.
Idris Elba, he's a big man.
He's a very, very, very attractive, very talented man.
talented.
So that's what we're looking at. Now you can maybe understand why the other ones don't really do it for me.
I throw Denzel Washington in there or Seal? All right, so Mike.
I don't know. Denzel, I hear, is kind of mean. I don't know if that's true, but.
Well, we could talk off the air about that. I know some stories too. But, Mikey, are you changing yours then?
Yeah, I was going to go with Seal.
You're going Seal?
I
pick a black man.
What's
Oh, I see what's happened.
Happy.
I see what's happened. I named one person, and now you're just trying to find whoever might be similar to him. That's not going to get you anywhere either.
We can
work with the three that you gave me. I thought
it was true, though. I thought it was just you were in the black man.
No. Not even.
You just happened to like a black man. I had the inner racist.
I happen to find him very attractive, and he happens to be black. That is the situation there.
You find him attractive, and he happens to be black. Now he's black, and you happen to find him attractive.
That's correct.
Okay, I apologize. I jumped the gun on that.
Moving on.
All right, so back to our original three.
Channing Tatum, Justin Timberlake, and Jonah Hill. I would marry Justin Timberlake, fuck Channing Tatum, and kill Jonah Hill.
Why would you kill Jonah Hill? Because he's fat?
He can take it.
Well, that's lovely. The three fat men here are very disappointed, but we understand you.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that. Unfortunately, I was friends with someone who used to be his assistant, I probably am making it personal, and I shouldn't.
Oh.
If I didn't know anything about any of them, I would probably pick Jonah Hill to marry. Does that help?
Oh, wow.
No,
that spells it out. She'd marry Jonah Hill without the assistant story.
All right, man, you got a chance. Now move on.
That's not what I was doing. I wasn't fishing. I was trying to see what type of men she's into.
And we really went fishing on that.
Just
one,
like we try to see what type of women our men are into
That's very true.
All right, all right. And we're trying to get an overall, like, composite of Janet Varney here. So, okay. Oh. Well, I'm glad we cleared up the black man thing. Those are some rumors. Amanda Bynes is still mad about all that. She's crazy. Is she crazy, Janet? She's out of.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Amanda Bynes.
You don't read the TMZ?
I don't.
Oh, let me tell you. Okay, so this girl has been arrested so many times, and she claims like every time it's a conspiracy against her. I never claimed it was a conspiracy against me, Lenny. Thank you.
How many people are part of this conspiracy?
The whole police force. And I remember she claimed she retired from acting because everyone on Twitter, I guess, was razzing her because she's into black men. So I didn't want to create that situation for you on Twitter where Janet Varney retires because she likes Idris Elba, who, by the way, is a fantastic actor.
I just think he's so fantastic, right? He's just great.
Lenny wants to know what he's been in, Idris. Thor? Remember?
The Wire?
The security guy in Thor?
Okay.
The Wire.
He's on The Wire. He's on a show on the BBC called Luther.
Which one was he in The Wire? I'm sorry.
In The Wire, he's why am I blanking on his name? God. People, help me. Help me, everyone.
Is he like the street guy or more the business end one?
Stringer Bell. Sorry. God, I'm so angry at myself. It's been a while since I watched that series. He's also in, I think he's in Prometheus, but I haven't seen
it. Yeah, some Prometheus.
He's
said.
The chief. He's
that,
the
yeah.
Captain.
Bingo.
And remember he nailed Charlize.
Yeah.
What was the line he used? I liked it. Are you a robot?
Yeah. Like
Janet, that. Would that ever work on a woman, that line in Prometheus where they just...
I haven't seen it yet, but he accuses someone of being a robot.
Okay, well, he basically calls Charlize Theron out on having no personality and being a dud. Do you think insulting women, if it's not too insulting, can get them into bed?
I think that if somebody's like witty and they can sort of tease and be teased when you're flirting with someone, I think that can be totally hot. I just think that you have to be able to take what you dish out, and I think you have to there has to be some sort of underlying respect. I don't respond to people who try to demean someone else. Like, I have girlfriends who do this too. Like, they're shitty to a guy that they're attracted to in hopes that will make him want her more.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, I feel like you can tell when someone respects you and they're just kind of teasing you and flirting with you versus like being an asshole.
And I like what you were touching on there. Give us some female secrets. What are they thinking about when men are interested in them? Like, you're talking about how they purposely mean sometimes. What are some other things that men should know about women?
I don't even know if we have time.
I got
to
a pen and paper. I'm writing down some answers. Give away the secret.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think I might have to. I might have to save that for my tell-all.
Oh, you got a book? You
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know what we have time for, but let's see. I guess I gave you that about that. What else do I have about the ladies? Listen, I don't know. I don't know what women are into.
How many people ask you if Jim Varney's your dad?
No one's ever said, is he your dad? But people say, are you related to him?
No,
I would say that happens to me about once a month.
The answer, of course, is no.
The answer is no.
Change your name just so people didn't think you were related to Mr.
It doesn't bother me that much.
No?
It doesn't bother me that much. I don't have a... I mean, I never saw any of the Ernest movies, but...
you never saw any of the Ernest
movies? I never saw any of the Ernest movies. I only know him from when he used to do, like, local... I feel like he was in a lot of local commercials, like, in Denver. My dad and I had friends in Denver, and we would see him, like, when we were there, and somehow we knew his name was Jim Varney. I don't know. But I don't know that he's particularly, like... I don't know that having the same name has particularly damaged me.
No, but you're definitely the sexier Varney.
Well, I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm sure there are people out there who would disagree, but I'm very glad that you figured
it out. No, it didn't take me that long to figure it out. A couple minutes, but yeah. There was some compare and contrast going on. But I want to see you in an Ernest movie, though.
I don't know if I can. I mean, I'd have to be digitally.
No, but I want her to be Ernest. She'll carry it on like Steve Irwin's kid.
The legacy.
She will
the Ernest legacy. Wow.
Beyond the legacy of her father, who's not really her father.
Ernest Goes to Camp, part two.
Ernesta goes to summer camp.
She's exotic.
That sounds like a porn.
It sounds like a porn. I'll come up with a better one, but Janet Varney needs to be Ernesta goes to something. Goes to jail,
that
too.
That also sounds.
Yeah, but Ernest Goes to Jail was a movie. You can't. Do two. We can't do a sequel here. What would Ernesta do? Ernesta goes to the clinic? Oh, that's terrible. God, I work with some terrible, terrible people. All right, so our goal now is to make you the next Ernest series. Because he made some bank off that.
I'm sure he did, yeah. This is great. This my career has taken a whole new turn that I cannot wait to begin.
Well, I'm trying to light it up for you, you know?
Yeah.
Now, what I also wanted to... Oh, my producer, Pat Tobias, has to know about you working with Heather Graham.
Oh, yeah. I did that movie with Heather. Mm-hmm. She was great.
Enjoyable? You know, was that a she was great, like, for real?
Yeah. She's a doll. She was fantastic. Total pleasure to work with. She was awesome.
What movie was this?
And she's very, very, very beautiful. There's no question about it.
What movie was this?
He wants to know.
This is a kids' movie that I did called Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer.
Ooh, Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer. That was a good movie, I heard.
It was really fun. It was fun to
work on. I heard it was good. Yeah, Not Bummer Summer.
Oh.
What did you think I said?
Nut Butter.
Nut Butter? We're not talking about your tanning oil, Lenny.
It was mink oil, you dick.
Lenny wears nut butter all over his face and tans.
I'm sure he has very supple, soft skin.
All right. Now, dinner and a movie. You replaced a pal of mine, Annabelle Gurwitch.
I didn't, actually. There was somebody in between the two of us.
Oh, there was someone in between you?
Mm-hmm. There was a woman named Lisa who replaced Annabelle.
Do we not like her? We don't like her. Do we not care about her? How do we feel about Lisa?
Love her.
Okay, love her. Great. Okay, so you replaced this Lisa girl. What did you take away from doing dinner and a movie, or was it just like a sweet little job that you could pay the bills with?
I loved that job. I loved the guys that I worked with. I'm still very, very close to. I still work with them on other stuff, and I love the crew. I love shooting in Atlanta. I mean, I really loved it. So there's not a lot that I didn't like about it. I learned to cook, believe it or not, thanks to that show. And it was great. It was great because it taught. I had to do a ton of writing for the show as well, and I was not really, as I've told you, I don't do stand-up, so I wasn't really a joke writer, and it was really good training for me to, I mean, I know women aren't funny, but it was a good training ground for me to write, I guess, unfunny jokes.
Now, on dinner and a movie, what's the best meal you learned to cook off that?
The things that pop into my mind without really being prepared to answer that, we made these po' boys.
Yes.
One time that had like lobster in them. They were like high end po' boys, and they were amazing.
What movie were you viewing? Was it you?
I'm
and
trying to remember. If I could remember the name of the recipe, because it's always a cheeky name that somehow relates to the movie, then I could probably.
Was it Forrest Gump? Mikey predicts it was Forrest Gump.
It might have been. We did Forrest Gump a couple of times.
Yeah, they're real. Mikey could put food in movies together real quick.
Yeah, but the poor boy is generally a southern
seafood. Right.
Yeah, it might have been like, is there something about like a southern person who gets rich real fast or something?
That's Forrest Gump.
No. That's Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh.
It wouldn't have been that, but it might have been something like that, because the whole idea was like a po' boy sandwich usually has these ingredients, but instead we filled it with a bunch of really expensive ingredients like truffle oil and lobster, but it was a po' boy.
Long
so
story
like,
short, it all comes back to Jim Varney, because if it was Beverly Hillbillies, it's back to Jim Varney.
But it wasn't, but if it had been Beverly Hillbillies, it would have been back to Jim Varney.
Let me ask you this, Janet. How awful of a time have you had on this show tonight?
How awful?
Yeah.
Does it have to be some grade of awful, or can I have not had an awful time and had a delightful time?
1 to 5 stars. What are you giving us tonight?
I'm giving you a 4.
Okay, where was I off today? Where was I off? Why didn't I get there?
And the only reason it's a 4 is that listening to you guys saying that the only funny women were Lisa Lampanelli and Tracy Ullman at the beginning.
I didn't say that.
We had to climb out of that hole together, but we did it, and we turned it into a 4-star.
And by the way, Mikey, Lenny, was Janet not funny today?
She was good.
Thank you.
You know, Janet, I just want to throw this out here. I'm really bad with names, so I don't want to, like...
You were put on the spot.
...hurt anybody's feelings. But the girl who played in Coneheads, was that Jane Curtin?
Jane?
Yeah.
Curtin?
She's great. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's plenty of women out there that are funny. The girl who played Mrs. Cowell, what was it, on Mad TV? There's a bunch of funny girls.
Oh, Alex Bornstein, who's on The Family.
Alex Bornstein's really funny. Nicole Sullivan was on Mad TV.
I worked with Nicole Sullivan a few weeks ago. We did a sketch together.
You know what? You guys were put on the spot. It's hard. To your point, I run a festival, I kind of had a bunch of names off the top of my head. But I know it's hard to come up with people and stuff. It's like when you used to go to a movie store when there still were video stores, and you were like, "What did I want to see again?"
Yeah, you know what the other one, and again coming back
Elf.
To bad with name. The girl that played opposite Maya Rudolph in Bridesmaids,
Kristen Wiig, she brought up first thing.
Exactly,
Maya Rudolph is really funny.
I love Maya Rudolph.
When she shit herself
Mikey
in the middle of the
like
street.
Maya Rudolph. I love Maya Rudolph.
She shit herself too.
Yeah, she's funny, and I think
that is what we call full circle right there.
Yeah, that's
bringing it back to Maya Rudolph and crap in your pants.
So, Mikey, what was your crap in your pants story?
I can't think of anything that was exciting.
Never, like, it's 100 degrees.
I mean, no one's saying, like, you were in a rocket ship about to take off for Mars. I mean, that's an exciting story. It doesn't have to be that exciting.
No, that's when Lenny got his hernia.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. That trip I almost lost a testicle. It was just a bad trip overall.
He sat at the testicle for a whole flight.
I'm a large guy. Coach seats aren't made for me.
How did you do that? Why don't you just move it?
What do you mean move it? Get up and walk among the fucking cabin? I was sitting in the window seat. I don't want to inconvenience the people next to me.
No.
It was just bad.
Yeah.
You didn't want to inconvenience anyone?
No.
You're like the Mother Teresa of pants crappers.
No,
he's the Mother Teresa of testicle losing.
You know.
Yeah.
And now let's get this out there for the women listening. Lenny does have both testicles.
Yeah, no, they wanted to cut it off, but then they said just inflamed. Take some ibuprofen. Yeah.
Wow, that's scary. Scary moment.
First trip to Vegas ever.
Best trip of my life. Janet can't sit on an ovary, and it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the nut bra. When you get older.
You get a nut bra?
Didn't you see that? Was that in Living Color? Oh, my nuts again. Okay, never mind. going to go grab
We all have some research we have to do.
Why are you grabbing a smoke? We're talking here.
Oh, I thought we were done. Sorry.
No, we're not done, and we got more talking to do when we're done with Janet.
Yeah, I don't have a shit story. I have a funny story about shitting, but it doesn't involve me shitting my pants.
What does it involve?
Me busting up a bathroom at a gas station.
Oh, well, how bad? Is it funny enough for my listeners, or are you wasting our time with your shit?
I don't know.
Story?
I don't want to waste Janet's time. Maybe she wants to hear it, she can listen after she gets off.
Well, oh, you know what I do want to ask Janet? I do want to waste Janet's time with something.
Okay.
Janet, your favorite food in L.A. is go.
Oh, boy, it's a pretty L.A. answer, I think. My favorite food in L.A. is this place called Izakaya Sushi.
Izakaya Sushi. Is that
Encino? It's on 3rd Street. It's not that close to where I live, but it's on 3rd Street and kind of near La Cienega, I guess. And it's that kind of food that's so good that you kind of are mad when you're eating it. You're like, why is this so good?
Oh, wow.
It makes you angry at how good it is.
Now, Mikey and I went to Baby Back Blues today.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what was your review of Baby Back Blues in Plainfield, Illinois?
Up here in the Chicagoland area, we do have a few good barbecue restaurants, but it's very hard to find one that does well. So we had this one recommended to us, and I did some research. It had been on some TVs and TV shows and things of that nature, but it was very, very bland. It was very. See, your feeling about the food being so good is exactly how I feel when it's bad. I'm so upset.
Yeah,
it's very upset.
Me too. I get pretty mad when it's awful.
What's the best barbecue for us in L.A.? Janet, because I can't find a good barbecue.
There's barbecue
joint.
In L.A.?
Yes, there is.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't eat a lot of barbecue in L.A. When I was just in Austin a little while ago, and all I could do was eat as much barbecue as possible just to enjoy it.
You're right.
I wish my friend Bart were handy. He's like a barbecue aficionado. There's a barbecue place in Montrose that I like. Montrose is like kind of near Pasadena, sort of. It's on Honolulu Street. And then there's a soul food place in, Long Beach area, if it's still there, called Aunt Kizzy's, and they are really good.
I'm going to try that. All right, Jan, I'm not going to waste any more of your time. You can go back to watching whatever
you want. Now I'm going to go eat because you guys got me thinking about
dinner. Where are you going to go eat? Oh, no, don't. Well, who's going to follow you? No one's going to.
I don't know. I got to think it through.
What kind of food are you planning on going to get?
I don't know. Maybe some Mexican food. I love Mexican food.
Now you have brought Mikey away from his Angry Birds. You're speaking his language.
There's a place in East L.A. last time I was there. Actually, no, it's not too good of a neighborhood I went to. But there's supposed to be this burrito named after a group of cappers. They used to get them in the 80s.
Group of cappers?
No, they used to call them, I don't know if they call them the Beverlys or the Bushwhackers. I don't know what the fuck they called them. But this burrito was out. It had bacon, steak. Oh, my God, it was out of this world.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a heart attack, but fantastic.
It was great. It was in East L.A. It was a little bit of a hike to get to. I wasn't too fond of the neighborhood. I definitely stuck out, but, oh, God, it was awesome. I think.
Wish we knew what the name was so I could check it out.
Yeah, the concierge at the frickin' Marriott gave it to me.
Do you know your stripper started her own live radio show this week going up against mine because I didn't invite her back on?
Did it despite you?
Yeah, no, Lenny's stripper girlfriend, they're not, going out, but Lenny's into this stripper woman from Vegas.
That he's met once.
A dancer lady. Sorry, Lenny. A dancer lady from Vegas who we met one time, and they talked about pizza for 3 hours. And now this stripper is starting her own show against mine.
Like, specifically targeting you?
Yeah, I just found out about it, literally right now.
Boo.
Oh, and Jim Carrey just dropped out of the proposed Dumb and Dumber sequel.
No, did he?
A year. Yeah, no.
Guys, you got a lot of bad news just now.
I know. I kind of feel like it's better because you're here, but, I don't know.
But I'm about to leave to go eat dinner.
Janet, go eat. The San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival, that's in January 2013. It's actually in San Francisco. Correct, Janet? It's in San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can catch the JV Club every week on the Nerdist channel.
Or iTunes.
As much as I like promoting other networks. And,
yeah, I'm giving you the option of just saying iTunes if you want.
No, I love you. It's all right, Janet. You're a quality woman. You're funny as fuck. Thank you very much.
Thanks, you guys. Have a good one. Sorry about the stripper.
Bye, Janet. Can't win them all. Bye, Janet.
All right, bye.
I liked her. I liked her. Classy broad.
So what's more? What's this about the stripper? Is she upset because we're not going to pay her bills?
Oh, yeah. The stripper started her own show up against mine tonight.
What?
Yes, because I wouldn't invite her back on.
Well, is
you're causing more problems for me, Kanata, than fixing.
Is it because she won't come back on, or is it because we wouldn't pay
do
all
I
her...
Have her number, or do I text?
Go take a seat. Let's talk about this.
I don't know.
Oh, now you don't want to talk.
The one that he was going to pay her cell phone
bill. All right, well, I'm going to call her.
Oh, let's call her, yeah.
No, I'll get in trouble. I'll get in trouble.
Why?
I'll get in trouble. Last week I was told that, you know, it was low class and I shouldn't be fighting with strip. No, you know what? I should call her. I should call her out and say, who do you think you are? By the way, can I also call up someone else? That Chicago's Best Show's got to end. It's done. That Chicago's Best Show, good first season. They found some really
good
quality joints. Good second season. You're out of places. Brittany Payton can only fake enjoying food as much as she does. It's done. It's done. By the way.
Hold on. I want to throw this out there.
Her faking's gotten worse and worse.
Yeah,
they're going to do McDonald's on Cermak. There you go.
Although I do want to throw this out here that Brittany Payton is awesome, though.
Yeah, she's hot. She's whatever. But, I mean...
She seems like a real great
Okay,
girl.
That Luigi's commercial we saw today for Chicago's Best, when she was doing Luigi's and she was going, and she always does this thing where she's like, like a really bad orgasm.
Okay.
Is that not true?
I haven't seen it.
You've never
Speaking of women,
Chicago's...
has anyone seen the Shannon Doherty commercial? It's like a B-run commercial, her promoting... online education.
Yes, I've seen
Shannon Doherty.
Oh, yeah, about how she's going to college finally. I've seen it months ago.
No, but it's like a shitty commercial.
It is a pretty great commercial.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I have to tell people.
And it's for those fake colleges.
I have
to
tell the people.
Those diploma fucking mills.
Billy West is our guest tomorrow night. Billy West, of course, Binder on Futurama. Futurama's coming
Very
back.
Very nice.
Which I think is named after Mike Binder.
Well, yeah, Futurama, they changed the animation up a little bit. It's a little bit more...
Sharper.
Yeah.
A little sharper.
Joe Walsh or Joe Walsh? Joe Walsh from the Eagles. Yeah, well.
Not the representative.
We're going to talk
Illinois.
A lot about impressions and stuff. But can we get back to the Chicago's Best thing, Mikey?
Sure.
Okay. What do you mean, sure? Now all of a sudden you're turning on me in the car?
No, let me
rip on him first, then you. Bah!
No, the reality of it is that I wonder if they...
Her and Ted are faking their way through that show.
I think it's just become a marketing machine now. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it started out with a great concept. Somebody like myself, who is a true, to the core foodie, really love the idea of the show, and now it's just becoming...
And we do love her. We do love Brittany Payton.
I just think it's the show of what it is. I'm starting to run into a situation where I'm going to a lot of these places.
And they're no good.
I'm going, it's just not that good.
And they're no good. And she and him, Ted, they overact so badly on this show about how great these places are. You're even more disappointed when they suck.
True. Is this the place you went to in Plainfield?
Yes.
Was it not good?
And
no,
by the way, Mikey,
fact,
what, was,
one
next,
of the ribs
what was next door to the place in Plainfield?
Another show on to Chicago's
Two
Best?
Chicago's
It's like
Best
they knock it
row?
Out. Like they could knock out two filmings.
Right.
Yeah.
And one was a pizza joint. One was a baby back barbecue joint. And I got to tell you, the barbecue joint sucked. Bob's is 1,000 times better.
You know why I think the barbecue I just had last Chuck's down on...
Chuck's is great in Burbank.
Bingo. I kind of like them. They're more of a Cajun.
No, it's fantastic. It's Cajun barbecue.
Yeah, it's like Cajun.
That's the place I was trying to tell you about in Burbank.
I've been there before. It's very good.
Oh, you have?
It's pretty decent.
Yeah.
They're jambalaya.
No, it's better than... It's a little better than...
Jambalaya was pretty good.
If you get the right things there, it's a little better than...
A friend of mine that works at another restaurant over here in Oak Brook is good friends with the guy who runs that place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They expanded, too. And every time I go there, it's crap. It's crammed.
But I'll tell you what, that jambalaya recipe that he's got, okay, not only is it great jambalaya, but he doesn't even, he needs to never mind. But it's very good jambalaya. You kind of
there's not really
a set recipe for it. It's just kind of
it's just whatever.
So it's just kind of funny that it's always that good.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the saddest thing happened today? And it happened at the Greece School District in New York. And this only proves what fucking punk ass kids are nowadays. There was an older lady, Karen Klein, who can't be more than a few years older than any of our mothers. Looks like all our mothers, okay? This broad is on the bus monitoring. That's her job. Nice little lady. I'm not going to play a 10-minute clip. It's really rough to watch. But these kids ripped her a new asshole for like 10 minutes for no reason, just bullying her.
Laying into her or like
yeah,
punching her?
They were bullying her. No, no, they were bullying her, like
calling
her real nasty name. She was from Reddit. Did I get that one right, Reddit? Okay, I got Reddit right. Now, as awful as this was, there was silver lining in not only the universal condemnation of the actions of these kids, but also in calls for support for this poor woman. Her name's Karen Klein, and if you are so compelled, feel free to reach out to offer support. She's been a widow for 17 years, has lived in the same town she grew up in, and is about to have her 50th high school reunion in the same school district, and deserves so much better than the actions shown in this video by these kids. In the disturbing video, the children can be heard yelling at Karen, calling her an ugly fat ass, and telling the widow, you don't have a family because they all killed themselves because they don't want to be near you.
What started with these fucking kids?
That's why I'm telling nothing. Nothing. They just decided.
No respect these kids these days.
She didn't even do anything. She's verbally abusing her. She's a hearing impaired grandmother of eight, hired to keep them safe on the school bus.
You know, I'm just gonna. Well, she, you know,
well, they're probably ungrateful, and so are their fucking loser parents.
Well, let me tell you what happened. That's great about this.
If she's hearing impaired, then she doesn't even know what happened.
Yes, she does. She's crying in the whole video.
Oh,
that's not even funny.
Were they? How old were the
kids?
Ripping
on the hearing impaired.
How old were the kids?
They're
like fifth graders, fourth graders.
Yeah, I mean, tell me these aren't like, you know,
middle school.
Okay, so tell me the eighth graders kicked the shit out of them.
They called her a child rapist. They threatened to hurt her. They were ripping on her low income.
Good,
her weight.
Crime is fucking adults.
Well, over 4,000 online
York,
strangers.
Right?
Over 4,000 online strangers contributed $75,000 towards a vacation and early retirement for her.
Good.
There you go. There's a silver lining. I hate this story. It pisses me off.
Yeah, now you're pissing me off with these little shit.
You know, I got to tell you what.
You can donate, by the way, if you want, on Huffington Post. They have it all up.
If my kids are in middle school and I find out that they get in trouble for something like this,
I'd kill my kids.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'd
kill them. By the way, I read this. No, I may kill them. I disown them.
That'd be embarrassing.
I'm sorry. That's the problem. This is the problem with parenting. Yeah, they just say, oh, that's awful. And, you know, go to your room. Or they smack them. Go to your room. No, I don't know. I have a very strong connection to the elderly, and especially elderly women.
Yes, we know. You do really well with the elderly women.
And
with the pills, with the swallow.
Yeah. Easy to swallow.
And, you know, they're just terrible, terrible human beings, these little punk kids.
I got a shitting
story. I read this, by the way. Brett Cullen posted it, but go ahead, Lenny.
I got a shitting story about our dear friend.
Who?
Well, the one who's not here this week.
Really?
And Alex? Actually about, no, the other one.
Caesar shit his pants?
No, he didn't shit his pants, but it was about him when we were all in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And we all went to go use different bathrooms because we didn't want to use the one in the room. I guess Caesar was in there, and he went to the bathroom wherever he came up. He's like, oh, that was horrible. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I really stunk up the bathroom. I'm like, really? I was like, yeah, a guy came in, and all you hear is, oh, shit. When Caesar told me that, I couldn't stop laughing.
Brett Collins says about that story, if I heard a kid talking to an adult like that, I would kick their stupid, ignorant ass. Imagine that being your mom and these kids are that disrespectful. This is what came from corporal punishment going out the window. Someone should slap the laughter out of these stupid, stupid children.
And you know what? It's probably three or four kids that egg on the rest of them.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, monkey see, monkey do, because, you know, it's fucking dependent on grammar school. Everyone's trying to be cool.
I
wore Hawaiian shirts my whole life.
I hate this story.
I was a trendsetter.
I want to beat these kids' asses so bad.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm getting vicious now about it.
No, I am getting vicious about it. Well,
because you can't hit a kid.
Karen Huff Klein, in my opinion, is a great citizen, and good for her.
Well,
getting
I'm
at least the money.
Hold on.
And, you know,
this is all I'm going to say. Awful, is my man. Ending remark. Feel for her, but if somebody wants to throw me on the bus with a bunch of, you know, like 40, 13-year-olds, so they can call me fat and make fun of me for 75 G's, I'll sign up.
She didn't know she was going to get 75 G's, Mikey. Man, Mikey, you are so awful about this story.
What? I agree with you. The kid is
terrible. You
don't
feel for this woman at all?
I mean, I guess, yeah.
It was this New York
okay.
City?
Okay, now you feel less for her because she got money out of it.
No.
Yes. That's true, right?
I mean, she's got to be thinking to herself a little bit, like, you know, getting yelled at by all those kids for a half-hour bus ride isn't so bad now that I have $75,000.
Okay, but she didn't have the $75,000 at the time. It wasn't fear factor.
Well, she's not getting made fun of anymore either.
Who was filming this? Was it one of the kids?
Yeah. One of the boys said, I had no clue it would go this far, said about the cell phone video he shot Monday that shows...
it made the waves this quickly.
Yeah. And she already got 75 G's. That's great.
That's because there are Good Morning America, Today's Show, Fox and Friends, and Anderson Cooper were all outside the school today. And she will be on Good Morning America, the Today Show, and Anderson Cooper, I believe, tomorrow.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the principal of this school's got to be thrilled.
So, yeah, it's not his fault, though.
No, it's not his fault.
Where in New York is this?
Karen Klein, Greece. Karen Klein said one comment hurt the most. A kid said, you're so ugly, your kids should kill themselves. Her son took his life 10 years ago.
So is it Greece like you put on like a bike? Or is it
no, Greece like the country, Momo. Greece police say they are concerned for safety of students involved and may put officers inside their homes. What a waste of fucking law enforcement.
So do you, if you live in Greece,
now you have to go.
Hold on. If you live in Greece, New York, are you called a Greek like by other towns, or how does that work?
No, but see, this is the bigger problem with bullying in general.
I can't.
It's
talk
like
to you.
I don't want
to
pick on.
No, this is important. This is important.
I get it. We all get it. The kids are fucking assholes.
Right. There's more to their story.
Get on with it already. Jesus.
You have no compassion. You have no compassion.
This is boring. Let's move on to the next thing. She got 75 G's.
Lenny,
kids made
go with your bullying. Go ahead.
No, just
go ahead.
It's one of the bigger things of bullying.
Thank you.
It goes on a lot.
Thank you.
No, it's personal attention. It is.
You're right. Well, she took it like a champ. They weren't that bad all year, she said. They just had one day. I don't know what possessed them.
Wait, why are they still in school up to Monday? It's already fucking 20.
I hope that this might help other people. That's what I really hope. To go through all this for nothing would not be satisfactory. What?
Well, no, because shouldn't they be out of school by now?
I don't know. Maybe not in New York. Maybe they're not done yet.
Maybe they do the 2 weeks on, 1 week off thing over there.
I don't know. I don't know. Well... there's that story for you. And
no,
Mike, you
that.
Just farted.
I did.
Real okay. Bad.
Thanks, Len.
That was fucking disgusting.
Oh, God.
Who farted? Was it you or Mikey?
Yeah, it was Lenny.
Oh, it was Lenny?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mikey. I don't mean to throw you under that bus then.
Well, you know, I feel better.
It sounded like it came from
your
direction.
Chair.
No,
that dented
your chair.
Let me tell
you, when I'm not the only fat guy in the room, then at least I know I'm not getting blamed because I'm the fat guy.
No, that's true. I'd never
don't
blame
you
for
that when you go places.
Yeah, like just because I'm big, just assume that that must be the guy who farted.
Why don't you look at the stinky little skinny shit eating fucking tofu all fucking day? When he's coming out of his ass.
Tofu causes all kinds of gas.
It's
does
not
it?
Natural.
Yeah,
it's not natural.
Lots of soybean causes gas.
It was almost a year and a half ago that the Farrelly brothers first broached the idea of a new Dumb Dumber sequel, picking up where Harry and Lloyd 20 years later after the first film. Not long thereafter, Jim Carrey himself was all about said sequel, a chance to build off the blinding success of Mr. Popper's Penguin. Bombed badly. Last fall, the film took one more step toward being a reality. Allegedly got a title, Dumb and Dumber 2, T-O, and even was listed on Carrey's IMDb page. But it looks like all that planning is now moot, as Carrey has exited the project before it even got underway. According to E! Online, Carrey was bummed about the lack of enthusiasm execs at New Line and Warner Brothers showed the film. In other words, Carrey was bummed about the check New Line execs and Warner Brothers execs were offered to pay him.
You know, at least
now Carrey has time to pursue his one-sided romance with Emma Stone.
At least we'll be able to see, you know, Jeff Daniels and those wonderful Pure Michigan.
No, he won't be in it again. You know, they're not going to make it without
Pure
Jim.
Michigan commercial.
Oh,
Jeff
Pure
Daniels
Michigan,
Pure Michigan commercial?
Yeah.
I always thought that was Tim Allen.
By the way, let's cut through the bullshit. Jim Carrey didn't like how much they were going to pay him. Lack of enthusiasm of the New Line and Warner Brothers executives.
Hey,
what does that mean?
Let me ask you a question.
Enthusiasm means money in the film business. Yes, you're fine.
So let me ask you a question.
I love if Mikey can't hear himself in his headphones. He goes, this ain't working.
What was the last movie that Jim Carrey made that was good?
Yes Man was okay, yeah.
Nerd girls are easy. Yes Man was good-ish. It was okay.
What was that movie from the
80s? Oh, with him and that chick. Oh, God. Dick and Jane.
You liked Fun with Dick and Jane, naming movies?
Fun with Dick and Jane. I actually liked that movie.
Okay.
I got maybe it was Alec Baldwin that made it for me because I want him to play me in a movie.
Yeah, anyway, so what was that movie? from the 80s? Where Jim Carrey became a vampire.
Is there a reason you're such a testy dick today?
I don't know. I'm sorry, Len.
Is it too hot down here?
I
know, and his hair's getting all curled up. You got your hair blown out.
Oh, by the way, Len, we got a new place. We need you to go get a haircut. Number one barber in the Midwest.
Yeah, number one barber in the Midwest, it says. What does that even mean? Who judges that?
I don't know. I think it was a judge.
What was the name of the place again?
I don't know.
Joe's Barbershop.
All right, let's do the last story and hang it up. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
But this place was very, like, Puerto Rican-ish, and, you know.
They actually had pictures.
They'll, like, carve things in your head,
like,
and they show them on the window.
Symbol in the back of your hair. What? Chicago skyline faded.
Oh, yeah, they could do a lot of the fades and stuff.
What is
my
that?
Barber doesn't do stuff like they be.
Well,
I call it Century 21 agent. Actually, a couple chicks are girls are barbers.
How can girls be barbers? They're hairstylists.
No, because then they're barbers because they
right,
do only
right,
men's
hold
hair.
Hold on. Here comes the clip. Can we listen to the clip so you know what you're talking about? You fucking mooks.
For the Huffington Post, I'm Lauren Zima. We all scream for ice cream, but are we addicted to it? A new study shows people can get addicted to ice cream just like they can with cocaine. Here's KCTV. And as with cocaine, those who eat ice cream regularly find they want more and more of it in order to recreate the original high that they get when they first eat it. The Telegraph has details on the study. 151 teenagers aged 14 and 16 were fed real chocolate milkshakes. Their brains were then scanned while being shown a picture of a milkshake before being given a physical shake. WNYW breaks down what happened next.
And they found for some of those teenagers, the more they ate, the less satisfied they were. They needed larger and larger amounts of the chocolate milkshake to feel the same satisfaction. Basically, when we talk about addiction, the concept is you need more and more of the substance to get that same high.
The scientists think the cravings could come from the brain releasing lower levels of the chemical dopamine. The CW's Dr. Steve explains the bigger implications.
This supports the notion that you can't actually be addicted to junk food.
For the Huffington Post, I'm Lauren Zima.
You know, I don't understand what the point is. I hate stories like this.
Ice cream's as addictive as cocaine.
That's bullshit.
That might be like me with chocolate.
What do you mean? They're just saying,
I crave chocolate.
They're just saying they're literally addictive.
This is a perfect example of them trying to make something out of nothing.
You think?
Yes.
That's all it is to you?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
look, I went to Dairy Queen today, right? First time in about 2 weeks. You don't see me thinking to myself, my God, next time I have to get two of those brownie earthquakes.
But you know what? I really could go for a DQ Blizzard right now with the Reese's.
By the way, speaking of cocaine, a five-time wing-eating champion known as El Wingador is under arrest in New Jersey on a charge of cocaine distribution. State police say they removed about $8,000 worth of cocaine and $4,000 cash when they stopped 50-year-old Mr. El Wingador William Simmons on Friday in southern New Jersey. He was driving a Kia Soul.
Oh, very nice.
Decorated with the name El Wingador. I think
his
Mikey
mother
sold him in that car. Police say a search of two homes connected to Simmons of Woodbury, New Jersey turned up more evidence. El Wingador last won Philadelphia's Wing Bowl 2005 when he gnawed through 162 wings.
Is he overweight?
Yes, he's overweight. Not as overweight as the man with 100-pound scrotum, but yes. We could get to that story tomorrow on the show. The man with the 100-pound scrotum. And Lenny just farted again, so we're leaving. That's all for the show. Lenny just farted. Billy West tomorrow night live on the Matthew Aaron Show. Billy West, Billy West, Billy West tomorrow.
Get Adam West.
60 seconds in the eight. Okay, thank you, Mikey. For Mikey Turzo, Lenny Cannata, Lenny Cannata's guest, Adam producing, Caesar Marconi and Patrick Tobias. This
and
is Matthew Aaron.
Mr. Matthew Aaron.
Signing so. Off, wishing you well. Go Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.